For being tuned to KZFR 90.1 Community Radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're going to be listening to The Doctor's Inn. Stay tuned. While we're getting that music up and running, I want you to know, as you probably know, this is pledge drive time. You are listening to, you know, you're listening to Community Radio, the radio station that is supported sometimes by you, the listeners. And the number for pledging support for this special radio station of yours is 895-0131. Please call in and pledge. Help us out. Help yourself out. Help the community out. 895-0131. Really appreciate it. And you're listening to KZFR, as I told you, 90.1 FM. And this is Ken Logan. I'm a doctor, a family practice doctor here in Chico. And the third Thursday of each month, from 6 to 7 in the evening, we do a program called The Doctor's Inn. And what I like to do is have information or subjects that I cover that are health and medical related that I think you, the listener, will be interested in hearing about. Today, well, let me say this about that. First, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And I want you to also know that the Doctor's Inn is made possible by you with your generous contributions. And you could do that to the phone number 895-0131. And it's also brought to you by, let's see, Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Deborah Lucero and Friends of the Arts have been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture, producing community festivals and events, including Artoberfest, the True North Tour, NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Explore Butte County. Created in 2015, Explore Butte County is committed to increasing the visibility of our county's amazing natural beauty, landmarks, events, cultural activities, and restaurants. ExploreButteCounty.com is one resource for information about countywide attractions, outdoor adventures, day trips, food, drink, lodging, hospitality, farms, and more. If you have friends or family coming to visit, or if you're looking for a new adventure yourself, check out ExploreButteCounty.com. There's more to explore in ButteCounty.com. So today, I fortunately am very happy to have two guests with us. Let me tell you the subject. Today we're going to be talking about the healthcare system and the potential for changing that healthcare system so that the function of the system is appropriate. It currently is inappropriate. We're going to have details relative to that. I'm sure you as consumers have your own experiences relative to that. I am a family practice doctor and have been doing this for 35 years, and I'll tell you, I definitely know the dysfunction of our healthcare system, and I too have ideas of how that could be improved for sure. I'm going to tell you that today's, what you're going to hear today has to do with the upcoming election as well. The primaries are upcoming. And in the Democratic Party, some of the Democratic candidates have voiced their opinions about our healthcare system, and relative to that, what their ideas are relative to potential changes. I think we as consumers and voters, hopefully all of us voting, it behooves us to have an idea of what the candidates, Democratic candidates, we know where Trump stands, but Democratic candidates stand relative to health care improvement in our country. And to help us with that, we fortunately are able, I'm so happy to say, to have with us Tom Reed. Tom is a Chico citizen and has been for many years. He's what I call a local activist, and he cares about the social situations in our community and in our country relative to healthcare and other subjects. Tom is a great guy. He's very learned in the subject, and I'm very happy to have him here today. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Ken.
Very good. And I will tell you, before we bounce into that, another subject we will be reviewing today and discussing today has to do with the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal. And again, I'm saying to you and me and all of us who are voters in this country that the upcoming election, it would be wise for us, I feel, if we all had our knowledge, if we all had knowledge relative to what the Green New Deal stands for, what it means. And we have a guest today who's going to tell us about that. But before I tell you who that guest is, I'm going to leave you on the edges of your seat here for just a minute relative to who that is. I want to tell us all, remind us all, that the Democratic candidates, I think we need to pay attention to their opinion relative to the Green New Deal. And you might say, what's that got to do with medical stuff? I thought you were doing a medical information show, Logan. And if you said that to me, I would say, oh, don't we know the health consequences of environmental disasters and situation that we're in now and rapidly heading into? It is a health concern by any standard. With us today, We also have Steve Marquardt. He's an organizer with the Chico Sunrise Movement. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, nice to be here.
Thank you so much. So, the three of us here are going to bounce around ideas, and you, the listeners, I'm hoping you will hear from us and gain knowledge. And again, the upcoming election is something that I hope you will keep it. I hope you will keep in mind the issues that you're going to hear today when you're voting in the upcoming primaries in the Democratic candidates' feelings about those policies that they will be putting forth relative to that. So, let's start with Tom. Tom Reed, hi.
Hi, Ken.
Tell us all what's this healthcare thing? And I thought our healthcare system was great in this country. What's the big deal here?
Well, the healthcare system, if you're looking at the... this better?
Yeah.
If you're looking at the practitioners, we have a lot of great doctors, a lot of great nurses, other clinicians. We have a lot of great people doing research and so forth and so on. What we don't have, though, is a system that really meets the needs of the patient and meets the needs of the community and meets the needs actually of the practitioners.
So you're saying we have a good healthcare system, world renowned, I would think, with respect to what we have available in techniques and in providers and in various medical equipment, et cetera, that's available to all of us in this country. However, the system to make it all work, what is a problem? Is that what you're telling me?
There's a problem. The private insurance industry basically siphons off tens of billions of dollars each year, which could go to health care for all the millions of Americans who lack health insurance. Additionally, apart from that money it takes directly, it maintains a system which is simply dysfunctional. Administrative costs are tens of billions of dollars more in this country than elsewhere. We don't negotiate rates for Medicare. We don't negotiate rates with pharmaceutical companies. This country has, I think we're right now about 18% of our gross domestic product goes for medicine.
Medical care
total. Mm-hmm,
18%.
About 18%,
care.
Which is more than any other country in the world. If you look back, say, to the time that Canada established their single-payer system, at that time, the U.S. and Canada were spending roughly the same on their health insurance. Since that time, Canada, I believe, has increased from like 7% to about 9 or 10% of the gross domestic product. Mm-hmm. We've increased from the same 7 or 8% to 17%. So we have basically spent, I'd have to calculate the money, but hundreds of billions of dollars more than the Canadians. And they insure all their people, which we do not.
Yeah, so like you said, in Canada, they're all insured. They have a universal health care. Mm-hmm. And the percentage of their gross national product that goes to health care is around...
About 9%.
9%. We do not have universal health care. We have insurance companies. We have Medicare and Medi-Cal, and the VA. But we also have health insurance companies which take profit for not supplying health care. That's where their profit comes from, by not supplying health care. And then... we have a multitude of people, millions of people who do not have any kind of health insurance. And we spend, even with that, what percentage of our gross national product?
Probably 18%.
18% compared to Canada's 9%.
And counting. I'd like a chance at some point here to talk about the debates that are going on within the Democratic Party around how to address health care. Should I do that now or later?
I think you should do it now.
I will do it now.
I think we'd all like to know. I would like to know.
Basically, a lot of us have been working for single-payer health care for a long, long time in Chico and all around the country.
Single-payer health care, what's that?
Single-payer health care, that is a system where you eliminate the insurance companies, basically.
Eliminate the for-profit insurance company middle people.
Correct. And the reason it's called a single-payer is because all the bills go to one person, or actually one organization, to pay them, and what we're talking about now in terms of Medicare for all, those bills would go to Medicare, and they would pay.
Essentially, go to Medicare.
Right, and in Congress,
Medicare for all.
Medicare for all. Now, in the debates that we're having within the Democratic Party, which we saw the last one just a couple of days ago. There are a number of people there who say that they support Medicare for all. At the time that Senator Sanders introduced his bill, just a few months ago, there were, I think, 17 senators, several of whom are now running for the presidency, who embraced that bill. Since that time, however, several of those people have changed their position, trying to make it a little warmer and fuzzier, calling it Medicare for all who want it, which, among other things, they think it might soften the tenor of their presentation and make it more appealing to some centrists, and also they would avoid the tremendous attacks from the insurance industry and the rest of the healthcare industry, which they would anticipate if they really wanted to try to put them out of business.
Are you telling me that you feel that this multi-billion dollar industry called the private health care insurance industry has a lot of money, and they would fight against a single payer plan?
They have an aversion. To being put out of business. Okay.
Oh.
And so what we have right now in the Democratic debates, we have Senator Sanders and Senator Warren, who are pretty much sticking to the real Medicare for all approach.
Who is sticking to that?
Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are still, as of this date, still really determined to establish a Medicare for all system in this country. Mm-hmm. Some of the other candidates, even those who say that they support single payer in the long run, are advocating what I call single payer light, which is Medicare for all who want it. Now, the problem with that is that it moves away from a single-payer system. You don't get the administrative savings and the savings from negotiating with doctors' groups, with hospitals, with pharmaceutical companies, and so forth. That's what makes a universal system feasible. If you don't have those savings, those savings, administrative costs, what we're talking about there is, let's say you're a doctor and you have one payer to bill. Okay, so Paul and I and Stephen all come in to see you on a certain day. You bill the same agency. You bill Medicare. You know exactly what's covered, exactly what's not covered, and what you're going to get paid. Okay, that's simple. The alternative would be Paul comes in with one insurance company. Stephen comes in with another insurance company, and I come in with Medicare. So at that point, you have to start upgrading your billing department. You have to have additional people doing additional work. Now, for one person with, maybe two or three employees, that may not seem like a huge deal. But nationally, when you start adding up all of the administrative costs for all of the doctors, for all of the insurers, for all of the hospitals and so forth and so on, it adds up to tens of billions of dollars a year with no additional benefit to anybody except the insurers and the other for-profit parts of the health insurance industry.
I totally hear what you're saying, and if I might interject just to add some information to that, as a primary care doctor in this town, and like I said, for many years, you would not. I think the public does not know or understand what we physicians and other healthcare providers and healthcare other healthcare professions as well go through the time and energy that is involved in dealing with the variety of healthcare insurers in getting care, simple care to more complicated care of our patients. I'm telling you, we would have a much more efficient, we would be able to see many more patients, do better, more standard care for many more people with the same number of providers we have if we did not have to fight the insurance company as we do.
Can I give you a personal example?
Sure.
A few years ago, my wife and I were in Costa Rica vacationing, and I cut my finger. Pretty bad laceration, so I had to go to the emergency room. I received excellent care from two doctors and a nurse. And then when I left, I said, I'm going to have to pay you guys. And they said, well, if you were a citizen, you wouldn't. But since you're not a citizen, you will. And they pointed me to, I said, where's the billing department? And they said, go down the hall around the corner. And there was one guy. And this was an emergency room with probably 100 people waiting for services. Oh. And the guy, there's one man with a little pocket calculator and a computer. And he fumbled through some books and so forth, wrote me up a bill. And that was it. They had one guy. That was their billing department. So that's what could be done.
Yeah. They didn't have a multi-billion dollar intermediary industry profiting to have you not get your health care covered or paid for. Let me say one more thing. Let me say something, actually, before we continue with this, Tom, please. We're in the middle of Pledge Drive right now. This community... radio station is on the air with programs like The Doctor's Inn, but programs of a variety of musical, a variety of musical programs, a variety of informational programs. This is a station that is all volunteer. There's a smattering of paid employees, a couple paid employees to run the place, but other than that, we are all volunteers. This is your community radio station, your community radio station. And it is necessary that funds come in to keep the lights on, keep the electricity going, et cetera. And some of the syndicated programs actually cost money for us to run. Please stand up and pledge to keep this station on the air. Please pledge to keep this station on the air. As we always do at least a couple times a year, we have this pledge drive. What's the phone number, you're asking? How can you pledge money to KZFR? It's by calling 895-0131. 895-0131. Please pledge. Help the station stay as it is.
So you know the value of radio and the value of community radio in particular. If you're a listener, if you're a new listener, you're learning that this runs with your help as well. And we have great volunteers that come in from nonprofits for our pledge drives every time. It's just a wonderful number of nonprofits that come in for this. And we have two volunteers out there right now, Tara and Ruth from Catalyst, who would be happy to take your phone calls. And you need to give us a call to make that pledge to keep programming on this station continuing for 365 days a year, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So give us a call, please, at 895-0131.
And that was Paul O'Rourke Babb. Hey, Paul, how long have you been volunteering at this station?
Oh, let's see. Since 1998.
Yeah.
Had a public affairs program for about 15 years. I've been on the board for 6 years, quite a while ago, and again, currently on the board. And I will tell you that this is a station that is worth every word, worth every minute that you hear. And we really, a couple of times a year, ask you to do your part. Your part is so important to the operation of the station.
As small or as large as you want.
And that part is 895-0131. Please pledge now. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Tom.
Yeah, and I should mention that I pledged this evening.
Excellent.
Actually, I did it out in your... in your waiting room here, so
very good.
But people can do it by phone. So I have just
Absolutely.
A couple of things. I know you want to get to Stephen here, but I have just a couple of things which I think are important that I would like people to be aware of as they're listening to these debates and as they're listening to what to the presidential campaigns next year. You hear a lot of talk about Medicare for all, real Medicare for all, costing $30 billion. That was based upon, I think, Senator Sanders' bill over a 10-year period. And people say, oh, my God, $30 billion is a huge amount of money, which it is. But what they don't often hear is the fact, and Mr. Biden at the last debate, I think, made a point of not letting them hear it. What you don't hear is the fact that our present system would cost more. Our present system would cost more. And it's also often not mentioned that while we would pay $30 billion in taxes, probably half of that we are already paying in taxes, including Medicare, Medicaid, the VA program, and so forth and so on. And that also the taxes that we pay wouldn't be in addition to premiums and so forth, but would replace premiums, co-payments, deductibles, and whatnot. So the average American, at least the average middle or low-income American, would almost certainly pay less now in terms of overall health care costs.
Did everybody hear that? The average American would actually pay less for health care in a Medicare for All system.
There's an assumption that people somehow hate paying taxes and love paying insurance premiums, that people love their insurance company. I have never in my life heard a person say that I love my... You may love your doctor. You may take pride in your community hospital. But I have never in my life heard anyone say that I love my insurance company. There's a poll or a number of polls which have been conducted asking this question. Do you like Medicare for All? Well, yes, I do. But would you like it still if you were told that it would eliminate your private insurance company? And that goes down. Because people are not told that, yeah, you'd lose your private insurance company, but it would be replaced by a better program. Do you like paying...
A stable program.
Stable program, yeah. Do you like paying insurance premiums? If you love that, then you're probably going to want to maintain your private insurance. Do you love co-payments, deductibles? If you do, you're going to like your private insurance company. If you would just as soon get rid of those...
And the roadblocks to care that go with that.
Yeah. So, anyway, I know you want to speak to Stephen here, too, so I think I'll back off unless you have any questions.
Take your time.
Tom, some other misinformation out there. Is there other? Go ahead.
I almost forgot, and this is very important for all of your listeners. Around the country, there is a movement to seek endorsement of Medicare for All by local governmental agencies, city councils, boards of supervisors, and so forth. There have been dozens, maybe hundreds by now, of successful efforts to get, again, boards of supervisors, city councils, school boards, and so forth, to come on board supporting Medicare for All. There is an attempt getting started here in Chico, headed by the Butte County Healthcare Coalition and now supported by 350.org, to do exactly that, to get a resolution introduced and supported by our city council. By our city council. So I would encourage everybody who supports the idea of Medicare for All to call Paul O'Rourke Babb, who just spoke here just a few minutes ago, at 530-321-9646 to volunteer to get involved in that, and especially if you're a member of an organization which could potentially endorse it. We're trying to get a wide range of political, social, community, professional, business organizations who will endorse this to show that there's a wide range of support for Medicare for All within our community, and then ask the Board of Supervisors to speak out in favor of it, and that could be...
Board of Supervisors as well.
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the Board of Supervisors
but
yet.
The
City Council. Hopefully to the Board eventually.
And if anyone is interested in supporting that and helping with the movement in our local area, the person and phone number to call?
Paul O'Rourke Babb, who just waved his hand. He's over here, our engineer tonight. But Paul O'Rourke Babb, again, a longtime medical practitioner and social and political activist. Call Paul at area code 530-321-9646. Additionally, if you'd like to get involved in the single-payer Medicare for All movement in general up here, which might include working on that and other projects, you can call me. You can get a hold of the Butte County Healthcare Coalition. You call me at 530-966-3414. I'm Tom Reed. That, again, is 966-3414.
And the Butte County Healthcare Coalition is what?
The Butte County Healthcare Coalition is an organization which I founded actually in 1991, which is a while ago now, to work for single-payer healthcare. And we've been plugging along.
Getting close to 30 years.
Yeah, plugging along with our friends around the state and around
the
country.
This is not a new idea.
This is not a new idea. In fact, President Truman, back around 1948, I think, came out with a proposal for a universal healthcare system. And there have been people plugging along to make that a reality ever since.
And are there physicians in this country that support that as well?
There are physicians who support this. In fact, there's an organization, a venerable and very effective organization called Physicians for a National Health Program. We have people, in fact, I think Paul O'Rourke Babb, who has, seems to have his fingers in everything. I think, Ken, you remember also.
And so are you.
So I'm,
you don't have to be a physician to be a member.
I'm a non-physician member, mm-hmm. but it's certainly worth worth supporting. Mm-hmm. Physicians for National Health Program, which again has been around, I think, about 20 years.
20 some odd years.
And they have close to 20,000 physicians and other healthcare professionals around the country, and a smattering of civilians like myself, but mostly doctors.
Doctors who support
thousands. Mostly doctors
in this country.
Medical students and other healthcare professionals.
Oh, and the medical students have a large organization now as well.
Right.
And supporting single-payer healthcare, or Medicare for all is a better way of saying it.
Yeah, so there, you know, there's a myth that doctors don't support Medicare for all, and that's largely a myth. Yeah.
I mean, I as a doctor know there are some who don't, but by golly, as you know, the numbers of physicians supporting Medicare for all has markedly risen here over the last 5 years or so.
Right, I think so.
It's more than 50% now of primary care, I know.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I don't know about other specialties. But, this is pledge drive time. This is a community radio station. Tell us about it, Paul.
So, you know, community radio is made up of parts. There's the transmitter and there's electronics. There's the paid staff that keeps the communications here open. There's volunteers on the air all the time with wonderful music and public affairs. And there's listeners like you that provide the funding. And there's value in each of those parts. But the value is more than the sum of those parts. We value you, and we hope that you value us. So please give us a call. We've had a call, and we would like to get some more. Call us at 895-0131. That's 895-0131. We'll happily take your calls and your pledges. Thank you.
And I was just reading the Chico News and Review a few minutes ago, and the first page, the guest author talks about the environment and the issues that we need to know, keep in our minds relative to what's happening to this earth. And he mentioned the Silent Spring, authored in 1962, and
Rachel Carson,
and what she talked about was beginning then, and it is. I was going to use a four-letter word. I caught myself. It is really happening now, and it's on the. Exponentially, the earth is changing for a negative way, and that is a health concern. Stephen Marquardt, hello, organizer for the Chico Sunrise Movement. Talk to us. Enlighten us.
All righty. Hi there. Okay, thanks for having me on. Tom, thanks for spreading the knowledge about Medicare for All. That's actually very much intertwined to the Green New Deal, which we're going to get into, but yeah, I'm really glad to be here. As you mentioned, we are indeed facing, I don't think you used the word crisis, but when we talk about climate change, we often use the phrase climate crisis or climate emergency, because unfortunately that's what it is these days. Maybe if we would have listened to Rachel Carson back then, we wouldn't be facing the crisis we face now, but, largely why one way to kind of look at how much of a crisis this is and where we kind of draw that that phrase from is back in November 2018, fall, I think it was October 2018, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change came out with a report which stated many things about the state of the climate, but in short, they basically said we have about 12 years to cut global emissions in half in order to really stave off climate catastrophe. And then just a month later, our own government here in the United States, via the fourth annual national assessment, came out and stated that, yes, human activity is the dominant cause of the climate change that we're seeing, and we're going to face more frequent and severe wildfires in the western United States, more severe drought, more flooding, more severe storms overall. Those two reports come back to back really set the really bleak tone and outlook for what's to come if we aren't we don't take transformative action on the climate crisis now. And since that report, many movements have kind of either been recharged or birthed, one of which was Sunrise Movement, which I'm here as representative of, and I think we can get into, but just wanted to lead with that.
So, hey, can you tell me what the Sunrise Movement is?
Yeah, so Sunrise is a movement to stop climate change and create millions of good jobs in the process. So we are a youth-led movement, and so the way we go about that bold statement is by working to get fossil fuel money out of politics and by making climate change an urgent priority across the United States.
Can you say that again? Fossil fuel?
Yeah, we're going to get fossil fuel money out of our politics.
Is it in politics?
Oh, is it ever? It's in politics as close as our own Representative Doug LaMalfa. Yeah, he knows about that money. But yeah, the fossil fuel industry, they like to throw a lot of money into candidates' campaign races. They lobby heavily in our government.
Why do they do that?
Because they want to make sure that they can keep extracting fossil fuels in the earth and keep the United States and other countries dependent on their oil to continue to...
Of course, they're non-profit.
Oh, if only. Maybe if they were, then maybe they'd give their money back to something great. But I don't think so. They're not too kind. They don't seem to care too much for the well-being
for their profits.
Yeah, that's the only well-being they care about is their profit. Right. Yeah, you know, those companies are...
Not for our health.
No, they could care less. They could care less. In fact, they've known how severe climate change and the work that they are doing is on our health as far back as 1970. ExxonMobil was coming out with a report. Their scientists were telling the executives then that climate change was a real issue and posed a real threat to human health. And...
They kept a lid on that.
They sure did, and they put a lot of money into making sure that the public was confused... Mm-hmm. about climate change and the fossil fuel industry's role in climate change. And for many years, they did a really good job of making it seem...
You know what this is reminding me of?
What's that?
The for-profit health insurance companies inhibiting and putting misinformation out into the public relative to the benefits of Medicare for all.
And the tobacco industry.
Mm-hmm. And the tobacco industry, what we went through with that.
Yeah, they all overlap. You know, that's
absolutely. Profit.
It reigns supreme in this country and many others in the West United States, and that's a real detriment to the well-being of the species on this planet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why, you know, if you wonder why is Medicare for All and the Green New Deal in the same air segment and why are Tom mm-hmm. and I sitting next to each other? Well, it's because, yes, we are fighting for what may seem like different issues, but in reality, we're fighting the same root causes. Gotcha. We're up against greedy, ruthless corporations that will stop at nothing to make sure that they profit as much as possible, and could care less how many people die at their behalf. And so we are not just fighting a broken healthcare system and fossil fuel industries. We're fighting a system of profit, and we're fighting a system that prioritizes profit over people. And so we are united in that fight. I say we're all part of the same movement, just approaching it from different angles. And so whether you're fighting for healthcare, education reform, climate change, immigration reform, gun reform, whatever it is, you know, at the end of the day, we're all fighting for the same fight, and we are all part of the same movement. So, you know, it's the one silver lining in this whole thing is that I think the Green New Deal is helping folks realize that we all are a part of the same fight. Yeah. And that, in fact, none of us can win individually unless we are all collectively standing together.
I think there's one Democratic candidate who actually does not take in money from industry, including fossil fuel industry. I'm trying to think of who that candidate is.
Certainly.
Oh, I think it's Elizabeth Warren.
Paul is waving his hand. Maybe that means something.
You know, I don't know if y'all think that's impressive, but I sure do. She does not take any money from corporate America. She takes it from private donations, like from me. Oh, I'm sorry.
And she wouldn't. She's not the only one.
All right, so I'm going to jump in here for a minute. And, you know, Stephen said something that that reminded me of basically what's going on with community radio, and that's that we're all in this together. And I want to thank John and Vicki. We want to thank John and Vicki for your pledge. If you haven't pledged yet, please give us a call at 895-0131. And if you're like John and Vicky, you understand the importance of the kind of information that you're hearing on The Doctor Is In. And you also understand the importance of your help in making that possible. It's your investments in this station that makes it possible for us to be able to have this kind of programming. So give us a call now. Pledge your support for this station and pledge your support for this program. 895-0131.
Thank you, Paul. And obviously, this station is not a for-profit organization.
Wouldn't be here if it was.
Yeah, me neither. So, the Green New Deal, can you, Stephen Marquardt, can you tell us, can you tell me more about the Green New Deal? What is it? Tell me some information about it. What's the substance-ishness
of
it?
Sure, sure. First, you know, the way we like to envision it, or try to understand it, is really as a vision, as a way to move forward. So we know we're facing a climate crisis, but we also know that this country has historically been and is still plagued by a huge economic and racial inequality. And so these things are intertwined. We think that we can move forward by addressing both the social and the economic and the climate catastrophes that we're seeing in this country together. And so the Green New Deal has been talked about for a while now, but it really kind of has gained a lot of steam since February, in which in February we had Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey come out with a resolution, which they introduced into Congress, calling on the federal government to enact a Green New Deal.
When was that again?
And this was in February of 2019. And so, for context, a resolution is nothing more than a statement that the Congress puts forth. It's not policy. It will not turn into a law. Really, is nothing more than just a statement of values, and it's acknowledging the severity of the climate crisis. And it lays out some goals that this resolution thinks that the country ought to strive for, like net zero greenhouse gas emissions, like investing in infrastructure and industry of the 21st century, like creating millions of good high-wage jobs, like securing clean air, food, and water in green space for all, and like addressing historic, current, and future oppression and prioritizing frontline and vulnerable communities in the transition to a more sustainable society. Those are the five main goals that really guide the entire resolution.
And I heard in the middle of that, and it makes sense, jobs creation.
Jobs, yes.
Kind of give us a few ideas what that means. Where would that be?
Sure. So I think a key thing to note is that the Green New Deal...
It's a big deal, by the way, jobs creation is part of this.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the backbone of this. Sure, yeah, we need to address climate change, but the only way we can do that is if we rebuild our country, quite literally. And so when you think about the Green New Deal, what does that sound like? It sounds like the New Deal, because that's because it was largely based off of what the New Deal did, and what the New Deal was a jobs program.
Uh-huh.
It put millions of people to work.
Uh-huh.
And so this is taking off, building off of what they did.
For the benefit of all the people, citizens.
Sure, at least, you know, a lot of them, not all. You know, so there's, sure, but, you know, a lot of them, yes. Uh-huh. Some folks are left behind, and that's what the Green New Deal makes sure we don't do again. But, yeah, it was a jobs program. And so the Green New Deal itself is a jobs program, too. We cannot have a truly sustainable country if we don't rebuild our energy system, if we don't rebuild our transportation system, if we don't rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, which here in Butte County we're seeing. If you look at the dam, I mean, if you look at, I bike all through Chico, there's some really messed up roads out here. I mean, we know we need to rebuild. Conservatives say that all the time. We cannot low carbon work. If we're going to have a system in which people can really engage in a low-consumption lifestyle and a low-carbon lifestyle, we're going to need more teachers. We're going to need more healthcare providers. We're going to need more folks to help us engage in recreation. We're going to need a lot of people. In fact, we're not going to have enough folks to go to fill the jobs that we need filled in order to really enact this transformation. And so, you know, we're going to see very, very soon, actually, what those jobs could look like even here locally, because... teaser, there is a Chico Green New Deal on the horizon, And that's going to really help people really kind of understand this at the local level, because I think that helps a lot of people.
On the horizon in our local
yes.
level.
Yes. Yep. So I won't say too much on it, but just know that there's something coming where people can really grip their teeth into, because I know for a lot of folks, a Green New Deal just seems too far away. It's a national vision. They can't quite grasp it. Well, it's coming close to home here soon. And especially as the conversation picks up nationally, I mean, Bernie Sanders came to Chico in end of August and released his climate action plan, which he called a Green New Deal. One of the most aggressive, comprehensive climate plans that we've seen yet put forth by presidential candidates. And so you're going to get to see what those jobs look like. And if you do some research, you're going to see that the jobs in solar and wind and clean energy is booming in the United States. And that's going to continue to grow, because we have no choice. I think the public support for that transition is coming. And also economically, it's making a lot of sense. But, yeah, the jobs are staple. And, in fact, we can't have this thing unless we're putting people to work. But that's exactly what we need. We need good high-wage work, good union jobs, and honest work that's making a real impact in this country.
That will be nothing but up and up and sustainable on into the future jobs.
Absolutely.
These are not dying jobs.
No, it's booming jobs. We got a lot of things to rebuild. We got a lot of things to create. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of people to take care of, a lot of struggling people that have been left behind that need care. And that there's a lot of people that need to do that work.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, back to the medical side of things, you know, the crisis of our the crisis in our earth currently, and how that affects the health of the people, from the air to the water to the heat to the deaths in floods, and you know, I mean, it's just a high health crisis as well. I just have to throw that in. So it's a multifactorial issue.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Stephen. Do I tell you what? You know what? We're in the middle of pledge drive. This is a community radio station supported by you, the listeners. Pledges from you, the listeners, keep this station going. And the phone number to call in your pledge is 895-0131. What about that, Paul?
Well, we had a second call while you were visiting here, and we want to get some more calls. We've got about 14 minutes left in the program. This is FM 90.1 KZFR. It's The Doctor Is In on Community Radio. And, of course, Community Radio means you. You are a part of this community. You are an important part of this community. And this is the time that we ask you to participate in the broadcasts that take place here. And your participation is so important because your participation enables this station to remain on the air, to expand its programming, to continue having staff that do the trainings for the volunteers that you hear throughout the week and throughout the day. And this is a wonderful thing. And this is an important thing. So give us a call now, 895-0131. Ken, what's the number?
895-0131 to call in your pledge. 895-0131.
And we have another call now.
Thank you for doing that. Wow.
If I may, I just want to give a quick shout out to KZFR. I mean, I'm sure folks have been here and people ask for money all day. And you might be new to KZFR. You might not have really experience the incredible wisdom and music and knowledge that comes out of this place. But man, this is one of my favorite places in Chico. I've been here about a year now, and every time I come in here, I meet new people. I have a great time. It's where I feel just like I just feel genuinely happy in this space. I've made friendships on this space. I've seen young activists come find their confidence in this space. I've seen young musicians play in this space. I myself have found my voice in this space. You know, this is and at a time to take another route, I mean, at a time when our democracy is in question, at a time when, you know, things are looking a little bit scary, it's spaces like this that allow the truth to come out, that allow people to express themselves and say what's on their heart, unfiltered, within reason. These are the kind of things that we need to keep alive at a time when our democracy is being threatened. So your money isn't just going to make sure that young people can come on and hear their voice and musicians can continue to play the music they like to have. It's actually supporting a really strong democracy both here locally and beyond. So your money's going to go farther than just the T-shirt that you're going to get from supporting. So I really, really encourage folks to make a call and donate whatever you can, 895-0131, or go online to kzfr.org and to continue to support this incredible organization that is continuing to inspire, enlighten, entertain, and educate listeners in this community and beyond. And you will not be mad that you gave your money here. I can promise you that.
It could not be better said.
Excellent.
Yeah, we have one line open, so give us a call at 895-0131. 895-0131.
An integral, integral part of democracy, a station like this.
Absolutely.
The truth coming out.
That's
you know,
it.
Democracy Now. I listen to Democracy Now every morning as able as I am, you know, if I can, every morning here on this station.
Can I just mention, I'd like to reiterate what Stephen has said, is that there's a term called an intersectionality, which is kind of widespread these days. And what that really means is that we're not going to win one of these things alone. We're going to win them all, or we're not going to win any of them.
Yeah.
And again, as Stephen mentioned here, all these issues are related. Racial justice, gender justice, dealing with issues of poverty and economic justice, environmental justice over and above the question of global warming, war and peace. All of these things are connected. And we really have... You know, there was a socialist leader named Rosa Luxemburg around the beginning of the last century, and she said at her time that the choice was between socialism and barbarism. And I think...
Socialism and barbarism.
Yeah, not everybody likes the S word. I like the word
socialism.
Design, yeah. But I think the essence is there regardless of what terminology you use. That we're either going to have a sustainable, decent society... Are we really going to hell in a handbasket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. You know, I think of the people, you know, the word socialism means the care for fellow humans is what that means to me. Not for profit, but the caring for, not for profit, but for people. Something you mentioned. Something you mentioned in one of the things you said, Stephen, you know, caring for people, not for profit.
Yeah, we need a new set of values as a society. And if we don't change those values, then we're not going to be here much longer to enjoy the profit that all these companies are making anyway.
Oh.
So it's about time we switch things up. And yeah, I think there, as Tom said, I mean, again, I think a lot of folks, you know, look at environmentalists and they say, oh, those are the environmentalists over there. Oh, those Medicare for all people. We're all fighting the same fight, and we cannot win our individual fights unless we stand together in solidarity and support each other, show up for each other. I like to think there's a movement and there's not. If you're in the movement, then you're fighting for all these things, because at the core, they're fighting injustices.
Yeah,
if you're for justice, mm-hmm. stand with us. If you're for Medicare for all, then you're for a Green New Deal. Then you're for housing for all. Then you're for, you know, immigrants' rights. Then you're for trans rights. All these things. I mean, it's just... Are you with justice or not? And, you know, that's why I love to do this work personally, because it's getting to bridge build between these different movements and build these coalitions and really kind of help people rethink about their organizing and take a step back and realize that it's part of a bigger movement, and it's part of a deeper fight for a root cause that we all are struggling against. So, yeah,
justice for all.
Yeah, you know, it sounds simple, but it is really simply justice for all, and which type of justice after that doesn't necessarily matter too much as long as you're fighting for one of them.
Just interrelated.
As a simple example here, the Butte County Healthcare Coalition has endorsed the Green New Deal, mm-hmm. and we have on our board of directors a member of the Sunshine Movement. And I would like to, with your permission, remind people that we're working on a resolution for the city council. If you're interested in becoming involved in that, call Polar Work Bab at 321-9646. If you're interested in becoming involved in the broader single-payer movement, call me at 966-3414. And I would now encourage Stephen to tell people how to contact him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Also, just to touch off that, if you look at the Green New Deal resolution, which I encourage folks to do, it's 14 pages double-spaced, very easy read. Towards the end, it shows just the intersectionality of these issues, because it does call for universal access to healthcare, free education for all, a jobs guarantee, housing for all. And, you know, if that doesn't scream intersectionality and showing how all these things interrelated and cannot – be one without the other. I don't know what does, and I won't get into how they all relate, but they do. And we can talk about that in another segment. But, you know, you read through the resolution. I really encourage folks, because you also be looking to realize that, you know, a lot of the talking points that conservatives are throwing out are just blatantly false and are not in that resolution. So you're going to have your burgers. You're going to be able to fly. You know, you shouldn't as much. No one's going to take those things out of you, out of your hand. But we do need to rebuild this country and make sure that everybody has a just and prosperous future. But yeah, if you want to contact Sunrise Movement, we are the Chico chapter. I think the easiest way, if you're on social media, would be to find us on Facebook or Instagram at Sunrise Chico.
Sunrise Chico.
That would be the easiest way. You know, if you're hearing this right now and you're, man, I want to talk to them, you can contact me directly. I'm Steven. You can contact me at 760-405-7635. The other way, I would say send us an email at chicosunrisemovement@gmail.com. That would be another good way. And I'd love to get in touch and continue to grow this movement here locally.
And the Green New Deal, to read it, how could someone... It sounds like a very good idea, and I want to read it. 14 pages is all. How do we find that?
You know, if you go to congress.gov...
Congress.gov.
And you can just, in the search bar, you can just type in Green New Deal, and there's a resolution by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Senator Ed Markey that the same thing, just one was introduced in the House, one in the Senate. Same bill or same resolution. You can
Congress.org.
.gov.
.gov. Yep, and Congress.gov. Probably I could, if I Googled it.
Yeah,
it
you can type in Green New Deal resolution. It'll probably come up.
So pull it up online.
You can also get Senator Sanders' proposal, which is, I think, 18 pages, something like that. You know, if you wanted to check that out. And probably the other candidates also who've addressed the issue of the Green New Deal, they probably have that on their websites as well.
And did you give a phone number for the Sunrise Movement, Stephen?
Yeah, you can call me at 760-405-7635.
Say that one more time.
760-405-7635.
And Tom Reed, for Medicare for All information or people wanting to get involved?
Yeah, 530. This is me, Tom Reed, 530-966-3414.
Thank you very much, Tom Reed, social activist and person who cares about his fellow human beings. And Stephen Marquardt, also activist and carer of other human beings from the Chico Sunrise Movement. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Some of the same human
beings. That was lovely. Thank you for having us.
Sure.
Thank you, Kim.
Now, let me say that I want to tell you who the underwriters of the Doctors Inn are. And they start with you, the listeners, with your pledges to 895-0131. And also to the grocery outlet of Chico, independent owner and operator Chris Hostetler offers local fine brand names in groceries, housewares, and health and beauty products. Grocery Outlet also has organic items, fine wines, and more. Open 7 a.m., that's impressive, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday, and on weekends from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m. at 2157 Pillsbury Road next to Kmart in Chico. Find them on Facebook at groceryoutlet.com. And by Pullen Cyclery, providing self-propelled transportation and non-polluting recreation. Pullens has been serving the Chico community since 1918 at 801 Main Street in downtown Chico and can be reached at 342-1055. And the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. Stay tuned for Beatle Nation.
I know it's hard to keep the flame, but tomorrow's ours to claim. Sometimes a battle cry sounds like a lullaby. Tonight I think we need them both the same. To everyone who's scared of what they see, every time they turn on their TVs, to everyone who's listening to me, to every single kid I used to be. You build a wall, we'll build a ladder. You fall in leaves, dead from the branch, and you'll see how much a snowflake matters when we become an avalanche. You build a wall, we'll just get higher. You don't learn to fight from privilege. Hide in the dark, and we'll light a fire. You build a wall, we'll build a bridge. We'll build a bridge. Up in your palaces of gold, your day's already growing old. For all the ways you tried to conquer and divide, your ruin will be all the lies you've told. Compassion lives in every